Good morning. I ask you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 10 for a moment, just in terms of an initial reading. We'll come back to Psalm 147 a little later. Wasn't planning on being here this morning. We had planned to be away as a family, and I'm going to say that God saw fit to give two clippers in a row. I was already caught in one of those and felt that I didn't want to do that again. So so we're here continue to pray for Renee. She is living with a lot of pain. I want to remember Corny and Mary's family. Mary's mama passed away, and so they're going to be together as a family in this coming week. And although you're seeing Corny here, it's just the funeral's out in Saskatchewan, so in the Swift Current area. And so that won't happen till next week, so Corny's with us. And our hearts go out to Mary and her family. And we just want to pray for them right now, and then we'll just read a few verses here in John chapter 10 and just invite others to come up and share some things that you've been meditating upon and giving thought to. Lord, we thank you for what we've heard in song already. Thank you for Frank leading the service, and thank you for our Sunday school teachers and each one who has a part. Do pray for our junior church ministry and value those who lead that, and just allow the children to be themselves and have a good time together. We are here this morning, Father, to remember the gift of your Son, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd who gave his life for us. We realize that we are going to meet in a future day. We believe that by faith today. We are trusting that your words are true. In fact, we are living our lives in such a way that much of what goes on day to day revolves around the fact that you love us and you care for us. You've modeled for us what it means to be a follower, to follow the Father's plan, to represent the Father as you did. Pray that we might give you the praise and the glory and the honor today. We want to uphold, again, just Mary and her family. Pray for her dad today, and pray that there too you would just be a comfort to him. May they find peace as they read, as they sing, as they look at pictures and plan for a celebration of life. Pray that you bring the people who are traveling there safely and traveling back home safely. Thank you, Lord, for the memories that we have of our loved ones and being reminded that this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. And so may we bless your name today as we spend time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 7, I tell you the truth. Sort of wonder, why did Jesus actually qualify, I tell you the truth? It's meant to convey the idea that with sincerity of heart, much of what God does in his word is always from a premise of truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be rescued, delivered. Clearly figures of speech and meant to convey how deeply loved we are by God. Shepherding imagery throughout the scriptures are meant to convey that Father knows best. He's leading, he's guiding, he's feeding, he's caring. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and life is meant to be a present reality. Life as you worship God, as you walk by faith. Life as you're trusting God in the midst of the turmoils and the chaos, with all of your unresolved questions. I want you to have life. I want you to have peace. I want you to know that you're forgiven. I want you to know that you're loved by God. That's what Jesus came to tell us. And as you're living life, I want you to know that I'm with you, caring for you, hearing your prayers, knowing your interests, knowing the burdens that you carry. To have life to the full is to have joy in the midst of a broken world. How do I do that? Keeping your eyes on the Lord. Where do I do that? Well, you read His Word. You meditate upon it. We'll look at some different passages. I want to invite different ones who've, I've been thinking, meditating upon the Word in this past week to come and just share some of those thoughts. May the Lord bless our time together as we look into His Word.
I want to read a very familiar passage in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have this preserved in your word. Thank you for just this great example that you gave us, how you humbled yourself. Thank you how the Apostle Paul just encourages us to be united with you, with one another, to be selfless, instead of selfish, looking out to others, the interests of others. Help us, Lord, to continue to grow in our faith in you, to continue to honor you and worship you the way you deserve. Lord, thank you for, again, as I said, how you gave us such an example that you humbled yourself. Help us not to be proud, too proud. I pray that you be with those in authority over us. I pray that they might hear this and that they might look to you as an example, that they would bow the knee to. Give them wisdom as they lead. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we walk by faith and as we respond to the things and the needs around us. Just pray that you give us strength and courage to do that. Continue to bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read out of Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so grateful for this morning, grateful for all these brothers and sisters that have gathered here, Lord, and just here for one common reason, to worship you, to give thanks for what you've done for us. And this morning as we break bread, we just are reminded again of what you did for us. You gave us life. You gave us eternal life by us simply believing in it. And we're so grateful. And just thank you for your word that gives us just courage, Lord, that gives us assurance, encouragement, motivation. And I pray it will do exactly that as we realize that even though there is at times we feel like we're being persecuted, help us to not give in to feelings like that. Help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on the truth. And help us to be a light to those around us. In Jesus' name.
Can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just been thinking a little bit about just our world and just the turmoil that it's in, and kind of what our response should be to that. In light of that, and in light of communion, just, you know, in 1 Corinthians where it says, "Do this until I come again." Yeah, we'll start at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I just wanted to turn over to Matthew 28, a familiar passage. Part of this work of the Lord is We'll start at verse 18 here. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And so kind of my thoughts are, you know, not to forget about the work of the Lord in amongst all this. Start with those around you, teaching, proclaiming, discipling. And that's one way that we can encourage each other and uplift each other. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for today. Father, that we can come together to commune with you and to commune with others. Father, knowing that you're coming back. Father, what a glorious day that will be. Father, just thank you for your word, that we can read it and be encouraged by it and be challenged, and just give us wisdom to live in light of these days. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 7. "During the day of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal life, of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And he was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek." It's hard for us to imagine the difficulty of just what Jesus was going through, knowing what would happen to him, knowing how he would suffer, knowing he could stop it, but choosing to obey the Father. Let's pray. I want to thank you, Lord, again for our time here, and Lord, you sustain life. You are life. Thank you, Lord, that you've given it freely to all who believe. And Lord, just as we break bread here later, Lord, pray that we would be encouraged, that we'd be drawn to you, Lord. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Psalm 147. How good it is to sing praises. Have you ever thought about that? How good it is. It's not something that you just sort of, I was born to sing praises. Well, you were, but you didn't realize it until you actually came to Christ. And it's only as you began to realize how deeply loved you are and forgiven, could you come to that place and say, "How great is our God." How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. There's a future regathering, and there's a future building of this city of God called the Millennial Kingdom. All the exiles of Israel will be gathered. What do you mean? Are you talking about present generation? I'm talking about all the generations. There will be a resurrection. Old Testament saints. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Verse 5, his understanding has no limit. Verse 6, the Lord sustains the humble. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. And then you could do, you could go through the psalm and you can see at verse 3, he heals. Verse 4, he determines. Verse 8, he covers. Verse 9, he provides. You know, and you can move on down there. Verse 14, he grants. Verse 15, he sends, he spreads, he hurls, he sends, he has revealed, he has done all these things that God has done. Let's go over to Psalm 34 for a moment. Psalm 34. I would put Psalm 34 in the margin at Psalm 147 because it sort of points back to this, but it's fitting to praise the Lord. The psalmist says, I will extol the Lord. I'm going to actually talk about God all the time. And I can remember as a young believer, that was something that sort of disheartened. All you ever talk about is God. I'm sorry, but I couldn't talk about anything else. I was free. I am free. I will be free. You are free. You've been set free. And you will be free. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us extol his name together. Now, might say, you know, Mike, I don't know how you can do that in front of people. I'll tell you what, it's not complicated. You just stand up here and see if you can't get people thinking about God a little bit. We actually have an arsenal. We have the Word. It's not complicated. You could actually encourage people to just read the Word. So I normally when I extol the Lord, I like to do it privately. I'm telling you at the resurrection, it ain't going to be private no more. In fact, the whole point of being here together is to do it together, to praise God together, to sing together, to be jubilant together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. Don't you love that line? He delivered me from all my fears. You'd have to admit that there's a lot of fear in our world, isn't there? And you and I have been delivered from those fears. Those who look to him are radiant. What do you mean by that? It's not just facial. It has to do with the way you go about life. Your faces are never covered with shame. You can put down 1 John 2:28 next to that. Because God wants you to stand with confidence before him and not be ashamed. This poor man called, verse 6, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You'd have to admit that much of the trouble that you've been in, you've been delivered from, or else you wouldn't be sitting here. We were delivered out of that snowstorm. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 18, again, echoing Psalm 147, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Verse 22, the Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Hebrews 13. tying in John chapter 10. Admonitions at the breaking of bread. Right, so the Hebrews was writing to a number of believers who were disheartened. If this was AD 68 or just prior to Vespasian's siege of Jerusalem, you can understand that somehow these Christians were being mocked by the Jews and who were saying, listen, told you, it's, you're not going to be free. You're going to come under the same judgment. We're going to just fight everybody. There was polarization in the church. 13 verse 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Verse 3. Clearly there was persecution. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. Verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Praise the Lord at all times. You put down Psalm 147:1. So many verses that you could put there, obviously, right? But just reading it in the context of what we talked about here this morning. Yes, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not forget to do good. Takes you right back there, right, to verse 2. And to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Verse 18, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Verse 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant takes us back there to Hebrews 5, Killian read to us, and Romans 5, brought back from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, John 10. May this Savior equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Ask those who are helping to serve this morning to come forward at this time, and one of you could give thanks for the loaf.
Thank you, Lord, for how you allowed your body to be beaten for us, and that you took upon yourself all of our sin. Thank you that you lived a life that was sinless, and that we can live by your example. Just pray that you'd help us to do that. We just thank you for this bread and pray that you would just bless the fellowship. Amen.
hard for us to imagine what the early church, these house churches, these tenement house churches that we read about in Romans, how they practiced, how they remembered, what they were told. I can remember the first time that I got to break bread, and I'd never experienced it before. I didn't get to handle the bread. And I almost thought I had to be perfect, to be honest, because that was the impression that we were led to believe. But I partake of this bread because I'm not perfect. I partake of this bread because I recognize the Savior. I partake of this bread because I'm forgiven. The Apostle Paul, it must have been memorable too when he first broke bread. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, we come to you again. Thank you. Thank you for what we've heard from your word. Thank you for this privilege of being together here with other brothers and sisters who love you and sharing in this together. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to shed your blood, being perfect, taking the sin of us, of all people, of all time upon yourself, so that we could be set free. Thank you for the life you've given us, and I pray that in gratitude we will go forward sharing this good news with people, the way we live our lives, the things that we say, how we love people. Lord, I pray that it will be clear. Again, just thank you for your willingness to shed your blood so that we could be set free. Just ask you to bless the cup now as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, being a Gentile, I didn't know there was an old covenant, much less a new one. In fact, all that covenant language when I first came to Christ was, well, not something I'd heard of. Couldn't quite place it. But for the Apostle Paul, he had to sort of work this through. He was quite familiar with the Mosaic covenant. He was familiar with the Abrahamic covenant. He was familiar with the Davidic covenant. He says, how does this new covenant work? It's all inclusive. No. No Jews, no Gentiles, but believers. We are here as believers. We, as we partake, are expressing our recognition and the value, the necessity of this new covenant. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Paul wrote these words in a very solemn way. He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, the necessity, the value of his sacrifice, the God who demonstrated his love towards us until he comes. Let's stand together and we'll turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10, it says, in the God of all grace, not a label, it's the essence of who God is, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen. Father, we praise you. We thank you for each one here. For those who are listening online, we know the worlds were prohibiting various ones from being here today. Undertake for them. Thank you that we can spend time meditating upon your word. Thank you for each one who shared and just reminding us of your grace and your love. Thank you for each one who's had a part here today in partaking, expressing that we're part of the body, that we have been affected by this new covenant. We're forgiven. Guide us throughout the remainder of our day. Help us to love one another deeply from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen.